Blog
Hello,
Talk Radio.
This is O5O on the radio. This is Monday, December 14th, 2015. I can't believe we're almost at the end of this year. You know how whirlwind it has been for me personally, and I appreciate everybody tuning in. I, of course, have to thank my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for the talent and the opportunity to do this show. We are ram-jacked all up here, all up in it. We only going to cover basketball and football today. We might slip in some other things coming up in a couple of days. I mean, hey, we got Christmas. We have some ideas we might float around. I don't know. But today is hoops, and today it is the NFL. Got to start the NBA with the news of the weekend. The Golden State Warriors, they finally lost the game. They went 24-1, came up 128 in a row, and on Saturday night, they lost in Milwaukee 108-95 to the Bucks. The Bucks had five players in double figures. They were led by Greg Monroe. Had a phenomenal night, 28 points, 11 rebounds, 5 assists. But one of the things with the Warriors, it was one of them nights they could not put the rock in the ocean. They only shot just under 41%. They shot for them a putrid just over 23% from three-point range. They were only 6 foot. And then how about this? Only 68% from the free throw line. They had 16 turnovers, 6 of them by Draymond Green. They, of course, Klay Thompson. He had missed the night before. He was back. He struggled. And then you had still no Harrison Barnes. So, hey, the Warriors lost one. But one of the great runs we didn't see in NBA history, 28 wins in a row, 24-1 right now. And, hey, the Warriors, you'll be able to see them on Christmas Day. They, and it was the game of the week. I mean, game of the day pretty much against the Cleveland Cavaliers, even though I think most people want to see the Martin Luther King Day special when they play Oklahoma City. Meanwhile, how about the Celtics? I mean, this has got to be galling for all Laker fans because the fact of the matter is the Celtics, they're back. You may remember, just a little while ago, they were the ones that were struggling. They were the ones that were grasping for air. But it didn't take that long for them to get out of it. Danny Ainge did a very good job pretty much getting out of the malaise, as you say. They made the trade for the short term with the big three, went to the finals twice. And now they come up, get rid of the big three, which I think is important. I don't think people recognize that getting rid of the big three, the Celtics pretty much ensured themselves of doing very, very well. And then the hiring of Brad Stevens, one of the real good coaches out there. But let me start out with something first. Remember, in 2013, let's say 2012. The remember Ray Allen went to the Heat, and they went to the 2011. Ray Allen went to the Heat, and next thing you know, the next year they were 500 team, and then they got rid of everybody, but they have drafted well. They have made shrewd free agent pickups. I mean, you look at Isaiah Thomas, one of the real nice pickups in free agency. He's playing at an all-star level this year. Hear that, Lakers, who he said publicly that he thought he was going to be a Laker instead of a Celtic, and the Lakers did not make a move to go get him. And then how about what they have coming up? Because of the trade of Pierce and KG to the Nets. How about what they have coming up? They have the Nets first-round pick next year. Well, this year, coming up this offseason, 2016. And in other words, it doesn't matter where the Nets finish. They have the first-round pick. So if they have the, so if the Nets finish with lottery ball number one, the Celtics get the number one pick. Then in 2017, they can swap picks. If the Nets still are no good and the Celtics win the Eastern Conference, the Celtics can still get a lottery pick. Then in 2018, they have both picks going to them. So they have two first-rounders this year, right, as it stands right now. They have two first-rounders as it stands of 2018. And in 2017, they can get probably another lottery pick by swapping out with the Nets. So they are really on the ball, and then the hiring of Brad Stevens. Nobody's going to say it. But basketball knowledge, they couldn't really do better. A young, enthusiastic coach really knows the game, and he is one of the real good, really one of the real great coaching stories. Stories from where he's come from, when it's time to Butler, and then next thing you know, he had never left Indianapolis, Indiana, and next thing you know, he's going to Boston, the most storied team in the NBA, them and the Lakers, and next thing you know, he is making it big in Boston. He's going to get some pressure to start winning soon, but you got to give them a whole ton of credit, and the future looks extremely bright. What if somehow how they got Ben Simmons to go to them, and they got the first-round pick. And you know how big of a steal that would be then? Unbelievable. Well, how about the Miami Heat? They won last night. They were down 20. Dwayne Wade brought them back, hit a shot with 22 seconds left to win it. But are the Heat really an obstacle for teams? Right now they're 13-9, and 11 of the wins are at home. They don't have anybody really putting up a lot of numbers. I mean, Dwayne Wade, he had 18.5 points a game. Chris Bosh, he, you know, honestly, at the same numbers that he was when LeBron James was there. Everyone thought he would play better, but he hasn't. And then the big-time player has been Hassan Whiteside. I mean, he keeps progressing. Unbelievable. Averaging a double-double, 12 points a game, 10 rebounds a game. But how about over 4 block shots tonight? Leads the league in blocks. Plus, you also got 3 others in double figures, being Dragic, Gerald Green, and Luol Deng, who just came back off an injury. Are they an obstacle? I think that is one of the storylines that will be coming on later on this season, because everybody would love to see the Miami Heat versus the Cleveland Cavaliers in the Eastern Conference playoffs somewhere around the way. Well, I hate to do this, but got to talk about the 76ers. Man, they are in need of some radical reconstruction. Last night, they took another L, as they now have fallen to 1-24, tied for the worst start in the history of the NBA, tied with the 1970-71 Cleveland Cavaliers. And I don't know how in the world it's going to get better. The Sixers have not tried to put anybody in the on the team for years. They have Sam Hinkle, who might be the only guy worse than Jim Buss as a team executive. Actually, I think he might be the worst ever. His plan is to just lose and keep getting lottery picks. Has to be the worst thing I've ever seen, because we're talking about the Philadelphia 76ers, one of the flagship, one of the standard bearers of the NBA. And all of a sudden, there are no veterans out there. They come up here, they have two players that are worth paying any type of money to see, and that's Nerlens Noel and Jahlil Okafor, but they don't have any veterans to teach them, so they're on their own. Okafor has been in trouble. I'm not gonna say been in trouble. He's made numerous disappointing decisions, and now all of a sudden, people are starting to come down on him. Well, what about the Sixers? I mean, my gracious, they don't have any veterans there to talk to this kid. And so thus, he's out there by himself. It's a whole big mess. They just hired Jerry Colangelo. Well, what is Jerry going to do? I mean, he can't change that. He can't change the environment unless they get rid of Sam Hinkle. Get rid of this math numbers cruncher and get somebody who knows some basketball. We're talking about Philadelphia. I mean, my word. You cannot have a team this bad in the league. 1-24. I said before this season, if they win 8 games, Brett Brown should win the coach of the year. That team is awful. Oh my word, unbelievable. Anyway, I got to get off the Sixers because they're so disappointing in college basketball. Real quick, I got to talk about UCLA. What a crazy team right now. They're 7-3. Hey. They will have big victories this year, including this weekend. They go into Gonzaga. They beat the Zags at Gonzaga earlier on. They beat Kentucky when they were number one ranked. But then their first game of the season, they lose to Mountman. What in the world is going on here? Here, right, Steve Alford. Hey, the team is winning, but they're not winning big. That going to be a problem for him later on? Maybe so. His son still playing consistent, very good basketball, averaging just under 16 points a game, averages over 5 assists a game. Then you have Tony Parker averaging a double-double, 14 and 10 a night. But but UCLA, hey, how's the fans going to deal with this? I mean, again, they're not bad, but they're not great. They don't have the splashy recruiting classes and such. Kind of difficult to see where UCLA is going right now. And what about this? I'm bringing up right now. I know it's not even Christmas, but will LSU make the NCAAs? Right now they're 4-4. Can you tell me their best victory this season? I'll give you all of their wins. McNeese, South Alabama, not Alabama, and North Florida, not Florida. Whoa, where are we going here? We understand they had the most exciting player in the country in Ben Simmons, 19 points a game, just under 15 rebounds a game, just under 6 assists a game. He has been electrified and unbelievable. Ooh, I mean, hey, we can even go to the 2.5 steals he has a game, just under 2 blocks a game. He is a stat sheet stuff. But any decent team they played, they've lost to this weekend. They lost to Houston. They need some victories, and they need a lot of them. But where are they going to get them from? Because the conference is about to start pretty soon. The conference schedule is about to start soon, and the SEC is not going to be ranked very, very high, in my opinion. Yeah, you got Kentucky, but you better take out Kentucky in order to get a big victory in the SEC this year. How about Texas? Man, they keep on. They got my UNC's number, don't they? They won 7 of the last 8 since 1984. 7 out of the last 8, they're 7-1. And in those games that they won, in those 7 games, averaging 84 points a game. Hey, Carolina, you want to play some defense? And Javon Fox, man, he loves to see the Carolina Blue. Remember 2 years ago, he came up, he made the key shot to put him, to give him the lead for good in Carolina. And then on Saturday, he comes up, the ball bounces to him. Yeah, I know there was a foul on Connor Lambert for throwing Marcus Paige under the rim. But, hey, you're not going to get that at the end of the game. And Javon Phillips hits the game winner. Boy, he likes playing against UNC. See. Okay, well, that's the basketball for today. Got to get into football. Hey, I can't believe it myself. The Skins, they win a game on the road. What is going on here? The Skins winning big games, 24-21 against the Bears. Hey, Kirk Cousins, 21-31. He 24-31, 300 yards, had a touchdown, and a crucial pick that looked like it was going to really hurt him. But what about this one right here? Hey, they're a better tight end in the NFC than Jordan Reed. 9 catches, 120 yards, 1 touchdown, and he was only targeted 9 times. That's right, 9 for 9 hitting Jordan Reed. He was big time. Hey, Jay Cutler had a good day. He threw for 315 yards and 2 touchdowns. Alshon Jeffrey had 6 catches for 107 yards. The Skins, they stayed tied for first place. We'll get to the other team in just a second. hey, it was a big time day for me. The Raiders, they found a way to take out Denver, 15-12. Hey, at halftime, it was 12-0. 12-0 versus the number two defense in the league. Well, I say number two defense because, you know, I go by points. I don't do that yardage garbage. And the Raiders, they come up and they score 15 points in the second half. David Carr didn't even have that great of a day. He only threw 135 yards, but he did have two touchdowns. The play of the game, not even close. Close to Khalil Mack. Five sacks. And one of those sacks, he got a safety. That put him over the top. That really got him going. They had a touchdown. Then with the safety, hey, Derek Carr in the come. And the Broncos dominated the first half. Brock Osweiler, man, he's been really playing well. He went 35 of 51 for 308 yards. How about this? He had 22 completions in the first half, tied for the most of any quarterback this half. I mean, in the first half this year. The Broncos really took a hit on this one because now they got that third loss. Remember, they wanted to stay in that two-loss category with the Patriots, and we'll talk about that in a little while as well. Meanwhile, in Arizona, on Thursday, remember, the Cardinals, they come up, they did a victory, and they beat the Vikings to earn their playoff spot, beat the Vikings 23-20. Bridgewater had a brilliant day, but they couldn't get Adrian Peterson going. 23 carries, 69 yards. Yeah, he scored a touchdown, but they couldn't get him going. And then Cardinals, all you got to do is say Carson Palmer, 25-35, 310 yards, two touchdowns. He was brilliant. Hey, what about David Johnson? Man, this started to look like a steal for the Cardinals. 19 carries, 92 yards. Malcolm Floyd, 5 catches, 102 yards, 1 touchdown. And, of course, we know Dwight Freeney strip of Bridgewater at the end of the game to seal the deal. Clock was running. They couldn't run it out. That was ball game. Like I said, Cardinals clinched playoff spot. And people better watch out. Going into Arizona is going to be rough in playoff time. They're already getting that place rocking as it is. Time game in Cincinnati. Mark this on your calendar, AFC, because it might be one of the determining factors. The Pittsburgh Steelers going to Cincinnati, and they took out the Bengals 33-20. Hey, Ben Roethlisberger, he had a pedestrian game. I mean, he completed his passes, 39, 282 yards. But he didn't throw a touchdown. He did have a pick. D'Angelo Williams, he didn't even have that great of a day. 23 carries, 76 yards. But he did score two touchdowns. Now, the deal is, how in the world did they get this done? Matter of fact, what happened? That was so big? Well, very easily. Andy Dalton trying to make a tackle, broke his right thumb. It looks like he's out for the season. That could be curtains for the Bengals, I think. A.J. McCarron, he came in. He did have a nice day. 22 for 32, 280 yards. He did have two touchdowns. You got to see where he's going there. A.J. Green with his normal brilliant game against the Steelers. 6 catches, 132 yards, and a touchdown. Now, and you also had Antonio Brown, his 6-100. He became the sixth player, catch 100 or more passes in 3 straight years. Here's big-time wide receiver for the Steelers. He might be one of the all-time greats when it goes down. Meanwhile, in Carolina, it was mean. The Panthers just shut out the Falcons 38-0. The Falcons did nothing. They had 230 yards total offense, and I don't even remember those 230. They committed 4 turnovers, and Cam Newton was converting them like they were nothing special. 15-21, 265 yards, 3 touchdowns. He threw every pass yesterday from the pocket. Never left the pocket, threw everything in the pocket, and delivered from there. Right from there. Ted Ginn Jr., he only caught 2 passes, but they were for 120 yards and 2 touchdowns. Man, still undefeated. I don't know if they're going to get beaten, ladies and gentlemen. Man, and how about this? Did anybody see Don Shula? Is happy that the Panthers might break the record. Now, why would he be happy? Remember, his son is the offensive coordinator for the Panthers. How about that? about Mike Shula finally getting some love for what he has done. And I actually thought he had a real shot for a University of Miami job, but never had a chance to offer it to him. Anyway, in Philadelphia, how about this one? The Bills and the Eagles, they were talking about it all week. As a matter of fact, you had LeSean McCoy all over the place talking about how he wanted to do this, how he wanted to do that, and he came up short. Eagles win 23-20. As the Bills came up short, McCoy, he had 20 carries for 74 yards. But to me, they ain't giving the ball enough. He started making plays in the second half, and they wouldn't give him the ball, whether it was off the pass, whether it was on the run. He should have been the one touching the ball. He was not. Tyrod Taylor had a pedestrian day. He threw for 268 yards. He had a touchdown, and he had a pick at the end to end the game. Sam Bradford threw for 247 yards. He also had a touchdown and a pick. Zach Ertz, man, he's starting to get it going now. 5 catches, 98 yards. He had Darren Sproles making them plays. 7 carries, 41 yards, and a touchdown. Now, look out, everybody. The Eagles starting to get it going. So the Eagles and the Skins tied at 6-7. They'll wait for the Giants, who plays the Dolphins tonight on Monday night. If the Giants win, it'll still be a 3-way tie. If the Giants lose, it'll be a 2-way tie for first place. And, again, in 2 weeks, Skins go to Philly. In Tampa Bay, the Saints upset the Tampa Bay Buccaneers 20. Drew Brees, he does what he does, 312 yards, 2 touchdowns. He is the 32nd time. He had 300 or more yards, 2 or more touchdowns with no interceptions. No one has done that more times than him. Tom Brady's at 31, by the way, if you just want to know. So you also had Tim Hightower, a lot of rushes, 28 carries, 85 yards, and a touchdown. The Buccaneers never really got too much going. Winston had 182 yards and a touchdown. Doug Martin had 81 yards rushing and a touchdown, but he only had 11 carries. What's up with that? Doug Martin should be getting the ball left and right, especially against the Saints. Big-time loss for the Buccaneers. That puts them down to 6-7. The Jets keep on rolling. They pound on the Titans 30-8. Ryan Fitzpatrick, he threw for 263 yards, 3 touchdowns. He had Chris Ivory run for 100 yards, and you had Brandon Marshall, 6 catches, 125 yards, and a touchdown. He and Decker, first duo, with 9 touchdowns in a couple of years, is the Jets. People better watch out. Todd Bowles have them guys turning around. This ain't going to be the Rex Ryan team that are falling off at the end. And they don't just pound it. They get you both ways. The Jaguars, they embarrassed the Colts yesterday. 51-16. Remember, the Colts had a 16-game winning streak against the AFC South. They don't have that record anymore. Man, they got killed. Blake Bortles, 250 yards and 3 touchdowns. He's a 4th quarterback, 23 years or younger, to throw 30 touchdown passes or more. Of course, you have Marino, Stafford, and how about Dante Culpepper? I think people forget about that year. 4th quarterback. Age 23 or younger to have 30 or more touchdowns. How about Kansas City? I don't know how they keep doing it, but they keep doing it. The defense saves the day again. Only score 1 touchdown, 10-3, but they get the victory. The Chargers, they had 280 total yards, but they didn't have enough to get it rolling. When as they were stopped on a goal line stand by the Chiefs at the end of the game, hey, Alex Smith, he had 191 yards, a touchdown, and yes, he had an interception. First interception in 312 attempts, the second longest in the history of the NFL. And you come up and you put that with the fact that they started 1-5, and now the Chiefs are, and they are rolling. They're not good, They are rolling right now. Now, people had better be very afraid, and I mean including the Denver Broncos. Those, you don't want to deal with this team right now. As a matter of fact, I don't think anybody in the AFC want to deal with this team right now. Now, meanwhile, in Baltimore, it was mean. The Seahawks just blew out the Ravens, 35-6. I don't know what Russell Wilson is drinking, but the rest of the NFL needs to start drinking it. Another 5-touchdown game, 292 yards. He's the third in the history of the game to have 16 touchdowns without a pick in 4 games. You know the other two dudes, Brady in 2007, Manning 2011. You know their record-breaking years. Those are the only time those that has happened. Doug Baldwin, he caught 3 more touchdowns. He had 8 touchdowns in 3 games. Who in the world does that? Well, Drew Bennett did it, and Jerry Rice did it twice. Well, you know how Jerry is the Seahawks. Now they're 8-5, and they are rolling. Then in Green Bay, the Packers rolled over the Cowboys, 28-7. Hey, Matt Castle couldn't get anything rolling. The only thing they had rolling was McFadden. McFadden had 111 yards on 9 carries, if you can believe that. But the fact is, Castle was off, and Dez Bryant, he had 2 drops. And when targeting him, the Cowboys 1 of 6 for 9 yards and an interception. It was ugly. Aaron Rodgers, pedestrian, 218 yards, 2 touchdowns. But it was a running game. Eddie Lacy, 24 carries, 124 yards and a touchdown. They ran for 230 yards, also with James Starks out there. 230 yards, most since 2004. And what about the Patriots? Everybody was saying, oh, they're in trouble. But fact is, Gronkowski showed up and he played. And so when you give Brady that his security blanket, Brady, 226 yards, 2 touchdowns, and then Gronkowski, that's right, 4 yards and a touchdown. But the key was the Texans couldn't get anything going on offense. They had 189 total offense, and it was really, really bad. What about the muff punt that the Patriots had after that play? After that play, when they get the ball on the New England 21-yard line for the rest of the game, 14 plays, negative 3 yards. Negative 3 yards, that's what they got. 14 plays, negative 3 yards. Ooh, that is bad, 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 bad. And thus, the Texans, they stay tied with the Colts. For first, remember, they don't play this week. Or is it this week? Maybe they do play this week. Well, we will preview it on Thursday. Patriots, they haven't clinched their selva spot, but they pretty much will next week, and we will definitely see the AFC. I think they're going to have a lot of turnover this week coming up, because teams are really starting to emerge, like the Jets, and unbelievable, like the Jaguars. Didn't think that was going to happen. The Colts are really faltering. I don't know if they need Luck back real quick now, because now half of that is mixed up. They don't have anything. They don't have any place to go there. What about the NFC East? Who thought it would be this crazy? And who thought the Skins would be up top? Crazy is one, but this is ridiculous. Listen, the Cowboys can't win a game without Romo unless they're playing the Skins. And then the Eagles, they come up. All the strife over there in Philadelphia going on with LeSean McCoy and the Eagles. Guess what? The Eagles also see themselves tied in first place. Remember tonight, as I stated earlier, the Giants, they have a chance to get in that 3-way tie for first place in the NFC East. All right, we will be back on Thursday, the preview week 15. It is starting to get crunch time in the NFL. Hey, we're also going to talk about the NBA, give you a little holiday spirit and all that other stuff. So we will see you on Thursday. Hoodaloo. Bye-bye.